Everybody have a good Easter? Sorry. We had a great Easter. This week, as I was preparing for this message and really this next series, we're part of this Thrive series, and I was reading through just some, you know, various news articles. I kind of like to keep up with current events. I like politics. My faith definitely impacts my politics, and every once in a while, I come across some things that I find are really interesting. One of them this week was a new Bible translation that had come out, and when I first heard about this, I thought it was a joke, so I did a little research and found that it was a real deal. There's a Bible translation that has come out that has replaced the name of God with the name Kanye, and so This Bible is called the Book of Jesus, and if you know anything about, I'm dead serious. Like, now he's not the one that promoted this. If you don't know who he is, he's really a pop culture figure right now. But just strange that anybody would create this. If you want to buy one, they're $20, and they're about 4 months back ordered because so many people want one of these things. Which then I read some other news. Anybody hear about what was happening in Tennessee this week in relationship with the Bible? Tennessee has actually passed through committee in the House and the Senate to make the Bible the official state book of Tennessee. And it still has a couple hurdles to go through, but they think it's probably going to happen. So I find that rather interesting, which made me wonder, what is the state book of South Dakota? Anybody know? How to eat a pigeon? There isn't one. So if you want to propose one, you certainly can. But South Dakota does have state things. We have a state bread. South Dakota state bread. You know what it is? What kind of bread? Ooh, whoever got it right, fry bread. That's right. Fry bread is the state bread of South Dakota. There are only a few states, a handful of states, that have a state dessert. South Dakota, of course, being one of those. Anyone, any idea what the state dessert might be in South Dakota? Good golly, we got some, like, someone must have sat through first service. Yeah, I think, is it Kuchen? Is that how you pronounce it? It kind of has a CH in it, so I never really know. Before moving to South Dakota, never had heard of this thing ever in my life. Ruth Fuchs, who used to be our secretary here, she served up some at a staff meeting that we had, and I tell you, I've never eaten anything quite like it. I think it was a sour cream one. Is there a sour cream? And I think raisins kind of popular. Yeah. We also have a state fish. Anyone know that one? Yeah, walleye, of course. But also other animals. Our state insect is the honeybee. Everyone knows about the ring-necked pheasant, the coyote. Did you know that we had a state fossil? I'm dead serious. We have a state fossil. It's a triceratops. Well, portions of him, at least. South Dakota state sport. What's our state sport? God, wow, you guys are good. Yeah, rodeo. I don't know who's riding who on that one. Okay, last one. State instrument. No, not guitar. Piccolo? Piccolo, no. Huh? Violin, you're close. Viola, closer. Wait, I heard it. Fiddle. A fiddle, that's right. A fiddle. I had a lot of free time this week, I will admit it. Actually, if you Google Fiddle Vader, this guy is amazing. He's up in Canada, and this is how he plays on the street corner in his full Darth Vader costume. So, interesting dude. Okay, we're talking about this series, this idea of Thrive, and kind of the plant image. You know that the plant needs nutrients and water and all the things to thrive. And that there are these core things that we need, that are innate in us, that we need in order to thrive in our own relationships with people, our relationship with God, and really even our okayness, our relationship with ourselves. And so we want to focus on seven different things. Now, these seven things, I was doing some reading a while back in a book called The Seven Desires of Every Heart. And so this is what the book looks like. And the couple that wrote this book, this book was born out of some pain and struggle and frustration that they went through as a couple, and really what they learned along the way. And so they put it in a book. Now, I'm not teaching this book. Even though the seven desires of the heart are mentioned in this book, they're only mentioned in the first chapter, so it's not like every chapter has one of these. But the rest of the book is a little bit more of a self-help kind of book on kind of tapping into some of this. I'm not going to deal a lot with that. But this would be a great supplement if the topic that we're talking about you would find interesting. And so I purchased some copies. I put them at the Welcome Center in the back. They're $11. That's what they cost us on Amazon. If you want to pick one up after church today, you certainly can. It would be a great supplemental reading. But I do want to read to you the first paragraph of their opening of their introduction. It says this. It says, "We believe that God created us with seven basic universal desires. And each of us desires to be heard and understood, to be affirmed, to be blessed, to be safe, to be touched, to be chosen, and to be included. Having and fulfilling these desires validates our very existence. And if these basic desires are fulfilled, we will enjoy a deeper and richer relationship with God and with others." And so those seven desires are what we're going to be talking about over these next 7 weeks. And like I said, I mean, God wants us to thrive. He wants us to be people that can identify but also meet the desires that we have. Now, I will admit that when we start to talk about items like this, I have a tendency to have a little bit of disconnect with them. And I'm the one that has to teach them. But I disconnect a little bit because there's something about admitting that I have certain desires or that, you know, I'm wanting or desiring a certain thing that I kind of push back against. I am not always comfortable with my feelings. Now, those of you that know me well, in fact, I've had some people say that they need to sometimes check and see if I have a pulse. I'm not really an emotional guy. But in certain scenarios and situations, I am very emotional and sensitive and those kinds of things. But, you know, my wife has taught me over the years how to be more sensitive. But it's just not really the core of who I am. But even though I'm not one of those kinds of people, I still have these seven desires and I'm still trying to have them met. Whether I would verbalize that or not, I've come to realize that I do have a desire in these areas. Now, others of you, you wear your emotions on your sleeve, or at least you're a lot more vocal about it. I think that when our desires or these needs are not met in our lives, we can either lash out, and maybe that's where someone is a little more emotional and they're kind of wearing it on their sleeves. They're screaming for someone to pay attention or for these desires to be fulfilled. Others of us, maybe we've thrown it out there and it's been rejected, and so we're more silent about it. It doesn't mean that we're not still looking for it, but we may not be as vocal about it. But all of us, whether you're a man or a woman here, whether you're more emotional or more reserved or closed off, we're still all desiring these things. So we're all together on this boat, and it may look differently for us. But the first thing that I want to talk about is this desire that each one of us has to be listened to. And in being listened to, being understood. Because those go hand in hand. If I'm truly listened to, then someone is making an effort to understand me. Now, when we talk about listening, I am amazed how poorly I do at listening. I try, but I don't always listen really well. And so what I want to do is I want to start with a little game with you. Now, the purpose of this game is to make you look foolish. All of you here. So I want you to play along and be foolish. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, that's the goal of this. But if you don't play along, you're not going to really learn or be able to apply what I'm teaching you. I'm going to say some things, and I'm going to have you repeat them, and the way that I say them and the questions I ask are going to lead you to say the wrong thing, and we're all going to laugh at each other. I hate it when people play these games with me, but I'm going to play them with you. So this is how we're going to start with, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to say the word spot with me 5 times quickly, okay? Spot, 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 spot. What do you do at a green light? Stop.
Really?
See? See, you look foolish. Wasn't that fun? No. You know what? I might have been behind you on Minnesota last week because it was a green light and someone stopped. No, you go at a green light. But see, when I say spot, 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 I've kind of led you to the sound of the word and you kind of went with, because we call them stoplights. You see, it's just mind games, okay? Here's the next one. Okay, now before I do this one, now you don't want to participate. Please do, okay? It's going to make this better. Okay, what does R-O-A-S-T spell? What about C-O-A-S-T? What do you put in a toaster? See, that's why it just gets darker and darker. Every time I put my toast in the toaster, it gets darker and darker. No, you're supposed to just put bread in your toaster and it comes out as toast, all right? All right, the last one. If you take two apples from three apples, how many apples do you have? Wow. Okay. If you take two apples from three, how many do you have? You have two. I didn't ask how many are left. How many do you have? Two. All right, I'm done making you look like a fool. Look, all of us want to be heard. And I'm always amazed how difficult it is to truly hear somebody. When was the last time you felt you were heard? I mean, when someone truly didn't have an agenda, wasn't trying to coerce you or make you this or be prescriptive to you and tell you what you should do, but right or wrong, no matter what you were up to in here, that they just listened. I mean, maybe for you it was a parent. Maybe you had one of those kinds of parents that actually listened. You could go and just share your struggles and your troubles, and it was just a parent who listened to you. Maybe you can remember back to a boyfriend or a girlfriend that, you know, during that honeymoon stage where everything is perfect and wonderful, and you're just sharing your life, and they're just soaking it in, understanding all the different things about you, asking questions, follow-up questions, interested in you, and it's just this incredibly validating experience to be listened to and to be understood. You know, maybe it was a teacher for you in your life that did this for you. And maybe it's a friend who just sat by your side when you struggled with the loss of a loved one, and they just listened to you tell stories about the person, and they were just present with you and listened to what you had to say. Or maybe you've been involved in one of those very rare experiences where you're in a disagreement, and instead of the person trying to attack you or put their agenda across, they just listened to what you had to say, even though it was in conflict with them. But as a result of listening, you came to a conclusion or an ending to that so much easier than you ever thought possible, because someone actually heard your opinion. Most of the time when we communicate with one another, we are definitely looking to be heard. But as a result of looking to be heard, we do a lot of talking. And we do so much talking that we forget that the person we're talking with also has a desire to be heard. And we don't really hear them. We're just trying to get our point or our thoughts across. I mean, we listen physically. I'm not really talking about it. I don't mean that people aren't hearing or you're not hearing the words someone's saying. But there's a difference between audibly just hearing and listening with the intent of understanding a person. That's a rare thing in our society and a rare thing in our relationships. And it's what we're all searching for. We all have a desire to be heard, and in being heard, to be understood. Think of an argument that you've had in the past. Arguments are where we see this played out the most. But you're in an argument with another person, and you're disagreeing on whatever it is, and so you kind of come to the discussion. I mean, obviously, you're the right one, right? I mean, otherwise you wouldn't feel the way you feel. You're right, they're wrong. I mean, and the whole point of the conversation is just to get them to finally figure that out. I mean, if we're honest, that's kind of how we come at it. And so we unload whatever it is. Maybe we've got a list we've written down, maybe whatever. We come and we share what our grievance is, our struggle, our difficulty, our disagreement, whatever it is. And we say it. But in most communications, the person that we're saying it to isn't listening to a word we're saying. What are they listening for? They are listening for their chance to talk. They are listening for pauses in the conversation where you will shut up just long enough for them to jump in and start saying their perspective on it. Maybe a rebuttal of what you said. Maybe they've heard enough to respond in that way. But it just becomes an argument and you're just saying your piece. Now, the person that was first talking, what are they doing? They are not listening to you. They are building their case in their head. You're kind of like the teacher on the Peanuts. Wah, 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 wah. And they wait for the pause and then they launch in again. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Not only are we not listening, but we don't even need the other person to talk because we already know what they believe and think and feel. We don't even need them to say anything. We've already determined who they are, how they are, what wires them, why they did what they did. We already know. We're just calling them on it. Or we're just helping them see the proper perspective on it. And we don't even need them to talk. Anybody ever experienced conversations like that before? Nothing really good comes out of it. Now, it happens between friends, happens between spouses, parents and children, anybody. These are the way these conversations go. And nobody's listening to anyone. No one has been listened to. Nobody is understood. Nobody's validated. And we all have a desire to be listened to. And in being listened to, being understood. There's a video clip that's been kind of swirling around on the internet, and Ellen DeGeneres got a hold of it and put a portion of it on her show about wanting to be listened to. Take a look at this clip.
Here's a video that I want to show you. This woman's name is Linda. Her 3-year-old son is arguing with her, and he calls he doesn't call her mom. He calls her Linda, and he is arguing about cupcakes.
Listen to me. Like I do this all the time. If I go out at the house with the girl, Matty has his toys, and then Matty has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Linda, listen.
Okay, what?
Like everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
You're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask grandma. Linda, didn't you?
Linda, lick it.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, lick it. But now we can't do anything if we can't get everything out of the wall.
I'm done arguing with you.
Linda, I'm done arguing with you.
Future lawyer, huh? Can you resonate with this kid, though, or this mom? Like, I just want you to Linda, listen, honey, listen. I just need you to hear what I have to say. You know, there's some really great advice on listening that Jesus' brother James shares with us. And there's a book in the New Testament by his name, James, chapter 1, and verse 19, James has this to say to us. He says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Okay, I want you to, just in your own head, I want you to read that verse again to yourself, okay? Even though the sentence structure of this verse is correct, it feels clunky. And that's because there is an adjective and verb that are paired together that we wouldn't naturally pair together. The adjective is which? I highlight it for you. Quick to, and the verb? Listen. You see, for us, listen is passive. Listen is almost a byproduct of just existing, right? I mean, if I do nothing, I can't shut my ears off, so I just listen. And then to say something quick is like an action movement effort kind of a thing, and it doesn't seem to pair with listen. To say quick to listen is like to say hurry up and slow down. It's like I'm being asked to do two opposite types of things. But you see, that's the problem, is that for us, listening is in our mind a passive type of thing. But I want you to know that to properly listen, requires more energy and more effort than speaking. It takes more brain power. It is harder to do. It takes more energy from you to listen than it does to speak. And we don't always understand that. And that could be because we don't do a very good job of listening. But proper listening will get us to the place where we can actually hear and understand another person. We need to be a disciplined kind of people that make an effort to actually listen and understand another person. Because when we do that, it validates someone. And it will solve problems in our life much quicker and without nearly as much carnage. And it will prepare the way for others to be able to listen to us if we will listen and understand them. So we're going to get kind of practical with it. This is how you do it. This is some listening habits that are helpful. The first thing I have written up there is you want to focus on what's being said rather than how you feel about what's being said. This is very, very hard to do, and this is the core of it. When we're talking together, if I'm having a conversation with you, I have to let go of my own feelings, positive or negative, about what you're saying in order to hear you. Otherwise, I hear your comments through lenses, and I hear your comments through those lenses. And then I see things the way I perceived I was going to see them, regardless of what you've really said. You've got to let go of your own feelings and just focus on what's being said. This is so hard to do, but it's key. It's a first step, okay? So focus on what's being said, not how you feel about it. Then secondly, the way it's being said. So this is the tone of voice, posture, body language, all that kind of stuff, and not just words. If you've had a really good friend that maybe you've gotten in a fight with, or maybe it's a spouse, and you say, you know, is everything okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. What does that mean? No, that means they're fine. Go watch the game. They're good. You just asked, they said they're fine. Focus on the words. Well, if you do that, you're going to have a rough night. No, we shouldn't play games with each other that way. Like, if we're not fine, we should just say it. But your gut will generally tell you when you're communicating with someone whether they're really putting it out there or whether they're being reserved, but they will still show it through their body language. So you want to focus on all of those aspects and not just the words. The words could be important, but even the way the words are said may lead us to a place of better understanding of how to listen. Focus on clarification of valid points and not the defense of inaccurate accusations. This kind of goes with the very first one of what's being said versus how you feel about it. So hard to do. When someone's talking and we disagree, it is so common to start to put your list together of what you're going to, you know, what your rebuttal is going to sound like. I've been in conversations where someone has a notepad and they're writing down all the wrong things I've said as I'm speaking. They do not, I mean, yes, they're listening to me, but they're listening to me so that they can attack me. I say this, just listen. And as those thoughts come in your mind, just empty them out. And I know the big fear is, but what if I'll forget these important points that I want to make? Well, good. Because if you get to the end of the conversation and you can't remember all those vile things you wanted to say or point out how stupid they were, probably good you forgot them. Because if it's important, you'll remember. Let it go. Just listen. And listen with the intent to understand them. Very, very hard to do. You know, focus on questions rather than indictments. You know, what did you mean when you said this? Or, so when I heard you say this, I kind of feel like you're saying you feel this way. Is that correct? It's asking questions instead of attacking. You shouldn't feel that way. You're wrong. You're this, you're that, instead of, you know, we want to ask open questions. And focus on understanding instead of judgment. Truly understanding the person. It doesn't mean they have to be right. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them at all. They can be completely off their rocker, but your goal is to listen with the intent of understanding them. And yes, sometimes that means I'm listening and trying to understand, even though they are completely wrong. But unless I can hear them and know where they're at, I don't know how to communicate with them. I don't know where we agree, where we disagree. Very important. Listen for understanding, regardless of what you feel about what they say. Certainly remove distractions when you're having a conversation. man, it just drives me nuts when I'm talking to someone and they're just looking at their phone. I just want to help free them of their phone when they do that. Or a book, or, you know, maybe you got kids and their earbuds are in, you know? One tug, they're out, trust me. Just no earbuds, you know, no book. You know, I'm bad with where I look. You may be talking to me and all of a sudden, like, I'm looking other place in the room, which communicates to you that I am not listening to you and I don't care. I am hearing you. It's a bad habit I have, and I have to make eye contact. Body language, posture, you know, closed versus open posture, you know, stand at the side, you know, we're having a conversation. And I'm like, you know, it looks like I'm getting ready to run on a race and get out of there. Front, eye contact, communicate, nod, agree. Sounds, you know, trying to make it to where they understand that you are hearing what they have to say. And responding with things like clarifying questions. Things like, you know, what did you mean when you said this? Or of all that you said, what do you want me to most understand? And give them an opportunity to just continue to communicate. I was watching an episode of The Office, season 9 of The Office, and there's actually a little clip in there in which one of the characters named Dwight, who is a very troubled character on the show, if you've never seen it, that the staff is trying desperately to help him with his listening skills. Take a look at Dwight.
It is crucial that you listen, Dwight. Also, you want to respect their... Are you listening now?
Yes.
Okay, well, you have to show us.
That's impossible. Listening happens in the ear and in the brain. I mean, some organisms have external hairs that vibrate to indicate auditory stimulation, but unfortunately, our external hairs don't vibrate at all.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
A little smile and a nod shows that I hear you. Got it?
Kind of.
Nellie, why don't you tell Dwight what we were doing earlier today, and Dwight, you show us that you're listening.
Well, we were in the warehouse where we were discussing the mural that I've commissioned Pam to paint there. We were talking about the colour schemes and the major themes we want to hit. Children of the world coming together, cutting down trees to make paper, but not in a child labour way.
It's just up and down. Just a regular knot, like a person.
I am a person.
Of yes. course, you're a person. Yeah. We can do this, all right? And then we thought we... I can't carry on with that face. Look at it. I'm going to get nightmares with that face. I mean, he looks like he's laboring over a stool having just eaten human flesh.
It's a bit extreme.
No, I'm sorry, but that is true.
Well, with a little practice, maybe Dwight will get it. As silly as that is, as we see Dwight practice it, I want you to know that none of this comes easy and it has to be practiced. And it may feel even goofy, but we have to practice being good listeners, showing that we're listening and engaging another person, because everybody has this desire to be listened to, and so few people listen to anybody. And when we listen to another person and we make an effort to understand them, the chances are they will reciprocate that back in our relationship and start listening to what it is that we have to say. So I want to get a little bit more practical with this. I have had many, many people over the years come into my office who are having a hard time with communication. They just really struggle with it. And it just seems like every communication is a fight. Now, it's true that a lot of these are husband-wife kind of situations, but not necessarily. It can be all kinds of different things. And so this is kind of the prescriptive piece that I give that I want to offer to you. Now, this can be just one-sided. It works best when it's reciprocated, but it can be one-sided. It looks like this. I'm in a conversation with you. Maybe it's heated. Maybe you have a strong opinion about something. So what I do is I let you say your piece. And as you speak, I do not interrupt. And I let you continue to speak until you run out of words. And I never interrupt once. And in my mind, I'm not making a list. In my mind, I'm not keeping an itemized list of things I'm going to, you know, refute or arguments that I'm going to have. I just let you say your piece. And when you're all done saying words, which, first of all, I want you to know, is so rare, and people generally will be a little stunned because they've even paused for you to interrupt, thinking you will, and you don't. And they finally look at you, and you say, and they go, yep, that's it. And you say, this is what I heard you say. and you repeat back what you heard. Now, this person has now been validated by your listening, and now you're repeating back what you heard. This is where you're trying to find out if you're looking at this through a lens that's different from what your ears perceived. So when you communicate back, "This is what I heard," they have two options. The first option is they can say, "That is exactly what I said. That is exactly how I feel. Thank you." Or secondly, they can say, "You didn't hear a word I said," and they start all over again. You won't have to invite it. It'll happen. And then you sit silently until they're done talking again. And when they're done, you then realize where you are off. You're listening for new information, and you say, "This is what I heard. This is how I hear you're feeling. This is what I hear you think." And again, you either got it right or you still have it wrong, and they will speak again. And you keep doing this until when it's finally all said and done, they say, "That is exactly how I feel." And you now fully understand how they feel. It doesn't mean they're right. And just because you took the effort and the energy to understand them doesn't mean you have to agree with them. But if you never understand them, you will find yourself fighting and arguing and talking about things that nobody actually feels, and you might find you're a lot closer on an issue than you ever realized, but nobody took the time to listen and understand one another. This is the one-sided part, just that. You'll be amazed what problems you can solve at work, anywhere, by employing that. But if it's someone that is a team with you, have them reciprocate. So now you fully understand them. They have been listened to. They've been heard. You have validated. It's now your turn. And you get to speak. And you get to speak till you're all done with words, and then they do the same thing back to you. "This is what I heard. This is what I understand you said. This is how I understand you feel." And again, it goes back and forth until they fully understand you. When two people have fully listened and fully understood one another, there is very little carnage in the solution. The solution generally pops out naturally in the process. Or we understand where we misunderstood and just perceived the wrong thing. And solutions happen so much easier. Because we all have an innate desire to be listened to and to be understood. Wouldn't that be incredible if someone had a conversation with you like that? Maybe some of you right now are thinking, "My goodness, we're gonna try this right away." I want you to know it's gonna feel like you've driven an automatic all your life, and now you have a standard stick shift transmission. And you don't know when to clutch and when to hit the gas, and you're going to kill the engine, and you're going to get like 5 minutes into it, and you'll be throwing pots and pans at each other, and you'll say, "Boy, this didn't work." Just keep at it. It will work. But our desire is just to resort back. Or sometimes we just hear and we listen, and we're like, "I just have to finally blow my top at this person," or, "This person is so dumb, I really have to tell them how dumb they are." Hold back. Fully listen. Fully understand. And I will admit that in marriage, it should be the best area of communication, but it's one of the toughest. I mean, we know our partner better than anybody else does, and we should know how they feel and how they think, but somehow married couples, we fight, and we just want to be prescriptive. We want to tell each other, "You know what, you need to stop thinking this way, you need to do this. You need to stop doing this and do this," and we don't take the time to listen because we just want to tell them how to fix their situation. And I see this again and again in marriage. And, here, I've got a little video that kind of plays it out for you.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you.
Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way!
I know, that video can just get you all in so much trouble. It's like you want to laugh, but you know that laughing means you're identifying, and identifying somehow is wrong. But it's just, isn't it kind of that way? Like, whether it's a friend or whoever it is, like, we see it, and we just want to say, fix it, because obviously you have a nail in your head, and that's what the problem is. But I want you to know that every single one of us have the nail in our head. And we do need someone to listen, even though the solution is so obvious. But it's not about fixing, it's about being heard. And so even though, yeah, it's obvious to you that what the other person needs to do different, they just need to be heard, and you do have to resist always being prescriptive and fixing and offering your solutions. There's plenty of time for that down the road, but sometimes it's just a need to be heard. We have this desire that God has put in us to be heard and to be understood. We were created to thrive. And part of thriving is being heard and being understood. And though it's my hope that in my marriage that I'm heard and understood, and as a parent, I try desperately to be heard and understood. I know my kids try desperately to be heard and understood, and with my parents and coworkers around here and with you guys as I interact with you. I want to hear you. I want you to hear me. But when it comes all down to it, I have learned in my life that if there's one person that could possibly, I know for sure, hears and understands me, it would be God. Because if everything else fails me, I at least need to know that God hears me. And there was this guy named Asaph. And Asaph was a worship leader a lot of years ago. And he wrote songs, and those songs were put together in a hymnal. And that hymnal is included in your Bible called Psalm. And the Psalms, if you were to translate the word Psalms into English, the best translation for it would be the words that accompany music. So these are all worship songs. We don't have the tunes anymore, but we have the words. And Asaph wrote this song in Psalm 77. And the first two verses, he said what my greatest fear is when it comes to my relationship with God. And he said this. He said, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. And there may be times in your life, as there have been in mine, where I wonder if God hears me. If I wonder if he knows my plight, knows my struggle, if I'm all alone in this thing, or whether God is really there. And I want you to remember, as we've been teaching these last weeks and months, that God knows you and loves you, that he created you, and in creating you, he created everything about you, and he knows everything you're going through, and God loves you. And if there's anyone that knows you, he knows you. If there's anyone that's listening to you, God is listening. If there's anybody that understands you, it's your Creator. And though God hears us, he reminds us that the relationship is two-sided. You know, we want God to hear us and understand us, but he also said through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55:3, he said, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and I will give you all the unfailing love I promised David. Know that God hears you and he loves you. And he wants us to pay attention to him. And in hearing him and living these truths, we'll find life. He created with this desire and this need to be listened to and understood. And he does. And he wants us to offer this gift to the world around us. I mean, as God offers it to us, think about it. I mean, in our relationship with God, don't we have a lot of nails in our head? I mean, how many times am I calling out to God? Do you think God has a solution for my problem? But he doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't just say, look, you've got a nail in your head, dummy, so get the nail out and then I'll pay any attention to you. But this is annoying. No, God says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, burdened down with troubles and the hurts of life. And he says, I will give you rest. He'll let me have my nail in my head and still love me. Doesn't mean he doesn't encourage me. Doesn't mean he points these things out and I become better in my walk and my relationship with him, but he'll take me as I am. And I have to take you where you are, and you have to take me where I'm at. And you have to take your spouse where they're at, and your kids where they're at, and your parents where they're at, and your coworker where they're at, and your neighbor where they're at, and your brother and your sister and your in-laws and your cousins and your uncles and your aunts. Because everybody's got a nail. And it's not our job to point it out. But so much of our conflict and arguments are in fights, if you really boil it down, it's because people don't feel like they're being listened to. And nobody understands. And so they're louder and louder and angrier, and they just want to be heard. And what an incredible gift you can give. Doesn't mean you have to agree, but to fully sit down and let them say their whole piece and listen to them and understand them. And let them know that they've been listened to and understood by you being able to regurgitate it back to them. And maybe, just maybe, they'll then listen to you. God says this, so be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. And he will neither fail nor abandon you. God loves you. He cares about you. He goes before you. And even in these situations where maybe there's tension and conflict, God says he will personally go before you. So be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. Because the power of the Spirit can work through you. And you can be a person who will listen and understand someone else, and in the process, that they can listen and understand you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace and that you do listen to us. And I pray that you will help us to listen to others, to let go of our own agendas and just try our best to understand. And Lord, we do ask that you will put those people in our lives that will listen to us, that will not judge us, will not condemn us, will not always just tell us everything that we do wrong, but just listen to us in our hurts, our pains, and our struggles. And we thank you that you do that for us and help us to do that for others. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, we've got some of these books out there, and if you want to pick one up, you certainly can. My challenge for you this week is to try to apply something that we learned this week. So whether it's a way you have a conversation, maybe that agreement that with your spouse or with someone you love that this is how we're going to do our conversations, maybe just trying not to be judgmental or not trying to be prescriptive, but just listen to somebody and just see what it does. Because everybody has a desire to be listened to and understood, and you have the power to offer that to them. Next week, the desire to be affirmed. All right, talk about that next week. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight, or this morning. You're dismissed.